Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I am here this morning to encourage you, and I'm not alone in that. I'm actually have somebody with me this morning to tell you it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Our hope is not in a man. Our hope is in the man, Jesus Christ. And with me this morning is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Pat. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well.
Also joining us is John. We're having still a little, I think it's the chemicals in the air. Now, joining us this morning, sad to say, but also joining us this morning is Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'll give a shout out this morning to all of our listeners. Marjorie, your comments and words are so encouraging. Thank you, all of our listeners that are communicating with us, posting, you know, sending us messages. Thank you to all of our supporters who are standing with us to be able to reach the world. Ah, this is so exciting. Happy birthday out there to everybody. This is the day that you were born. We celebrate it with you. We want to welcome all of our new members in the virtual audience, the virtual stadium this morning. Welcome, Greg. Welcome, Bill Swift. Good morning, Janice and Richard and, oh, my goodness, Linda and Corey and all the ones that are coming. Every day you're coming in to sit and you're joining us through liking us on Facebook, downloading our application. Welcome to the VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio Program's virtual stadium, where we're here to walk together, to have a conversation, a light, L-I-G-H-T conversation, to encourage you in these difficult and sometimes dark times. So we'll give a shout out this morning to Pastor Steve Kalaszewski. He is en route. He is en route as we speak, hitting, I believe, probably Highway 59 about now, heading through the heart of the United States of America for a VFN or a church plant in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with his U-Haul and his car in tow. I want to encourage all of our listeners to lift up Pastor Steve this morning as he's responding to the voice of the Lord. Remember him as he's being interviewed this Friday for an awesome opportunity, a set up by God to be blessed up for VFN Pittsburgh. We love you, Steve.
Love you, man.
Good morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you, to enlighten you, hopefully, to inspire you, but also, check this out, to activate you into your destiny. That no longer do we have to look and just pick two or three players on the field like a football team or a, you know, a Charles Barkley or L.A. Lakers.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, you know, and just cheer him on.
Yeah.
By the way, Dwight's moved to L.A. Do you know that?
Oh, really?
He sure did.
Dwight Howard, huh?
Dwight Howard moved to L.A.
That's a big boy.
He was very big. I think Colby could sit on his shoulder. Colby could be on his shoulder.
Definitely.
He'd probably say, knock it off. Try to knock it off. you know, we root on players. You know, it's just the kind of American culture. You know, kick that ball. Push that thing. You know, all these different things that are we're used to. But the reality is in the church, in the kingdom of God, we're all called to be players in this awesome story that our Creator is telling that started in the beginning, the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And we're part of it. We have a role to play. Although it's short, described by James, considered a vapor, it's a part to play. Mm-hmm. There is something I want to encourage you that if, in fact, you don't know this, you probably have felt trapped to criticize others how they're playing their part. But when you realize, wait a minute, I have a script here. I'm supposed to be doing something. Yeah, and it's amazing how empathetic we can be towards you know, our brothers and sisters, when we find out we're in this drama. know? I'm supposed to be doing something. And then I mean, even if your brother limps, you know, even if your sister, you know, has a few issues, and brothers and sisters do, right? Mm-hmm. We all do, that we want to say, so, you know what? They're fighting with me. They're fighting with me. You know, there's nothing more precious than somebody that says, you know what? You know, and I'd rather somebody says, when you're picking a, somebody's going to fight on your team, for example, and you're picking who's going to go out and do the patrol, for example, and you look at one guy and his uniform is all perfect and it's got all these, you know, iron creases and perfect medals and, mm-hmm. you know, the color is still there in the uniform. He's got some starched creases down his pants leg. His boots are shining. Mm-hmm. And then you have this other guy. His hair is just, you know, all messed up, which is today's style, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
Speaking of that, I saw me in a segment of VFN TV.
I'm glad I grew up in that.
And I'm like, did you ever think to mention that my hair looked like a basket case? Y'all thought I was probably trying to style or something for this generation. That's not my style. It looked like a basket of weed on my head. Anyway, so, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And so the...
No problem.
No problem. His hair is always perfect.
It is.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Never moves.
Never moves, you know. Even when the air conditioner in his... A limousine is blowing. and so you see this other guy, he's disheveled, you know, that his hair is messed up. And they're waiting to see who you're going to pick to go fight with you. And this other guy with a neat, clean uniform is talking about how well he did. You know, he made a 4.0 on his tests in boot camp. And his gun's all shiny and stuff. But this other guy's got rips and tears on his uniform. And his name tag is kind of half ripped off, so you really can't tell what his name is. He's kind of got, he's roughed up, you know, his hands are roughed up. He's just looks, you know, beard kind of growing a little bit, and everybody's leaning forward. Well, most of America presently has been picking this nice, neat looking dude.
Yeah.
But you understand, if you're going to fight, you know, you're not looking at the outside, you're looking at the inside. So it's not the size of the tiger in the fight, it's the size of the fight that's in the tiger.
That's right.
And when you're talking about choosing people who want you want to, you know, work with and fight with, you know, you want to just you're going to choose that guy. Mm-hmm. You're going to choose the guy on the right. You know why? Because he's fought. He's not worried about what he looks like on the outside. He's ready to fight the battle. Mm-hmm. He's concerned. There's a fight in his heart. You know, and if and pretty much, you know, the Pharisees were worried about the outside of the cup. And you can be with the outside of the cup crew, or you could be with the inside of the cup crew. Think about the people that are thinking about the inside of the cup. You're so focused on the inside of the cup, sometimes the outside's catching up. mm-hmm. Or the outside has a lot of scars in it. But if you go deep into their life, you think, this dude loves God. Despite all of his mistakes, mm-hmm. all of his faults, despite him being a Saints fan, you know, he loves God. That's so precious, you know what I'm saying? Mm. It's so precious. And so you say, I want that guy. Mm. And everybody looks, well, why would you want that guy? I says, that guy's never fought nothing. You know, I don't trust anybody don't live. Mm. You know, nobody's hadn't been through something. Right. You know what I'm saying? And you know the ones that have been through something because they're just all like, you know, they're the ones when the lady was caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. And they threw her, not him, whoever him was out there. They didn't bring him in. And they brought her and they threw her at the feet of Jesus. They threw her at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine that? Yeah. That would be us. And so, and you can imagine you're on the ground, you're at Jesus's feet, you're at God's feet, Emmanuel's feet. You have all these people who are religious around you, and you're not even looking up because you're thinking, this is not going to be good, mm-hmm. because you were in sin,
right.
You're in sin.
Right.
And they're talking about stoning you. And then they look at Emmanuel, they look at Jesus, the Son of God, and they say, well, doesn't the law say, didn't it say in Leviticus chapter, doesn't it say in Revelation, you know, it's like mm-hmm. whipping the word on you, like beating you with the sword instead of helping you, cutting things off your life, they're cutting you.
Right.
To stone her. I mean, that's like tough. That's tough, isn't it?
I would think so.
I mean, you've been a Saints fan for a long time, so you can kind of relate to what some of that's like, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I remember your paperback over your head.
Blanks on my wall.
Yeah, right. And that's just, I mean, think about it. Just pause for a moment and think about it. You're at the feet of God. Jesus has come to make the Father known. The people who said they're for God are not for you, and they're using accurate scripture against you. And Jesus didn't call him a liar. And so you're thinking, any time now you can say these guys are wrong. Because they weren't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to saying the law says that she's to be stoned.
Right.
But then Jesus said this. He said this. He said, he that's without sin, you exercise the law towards her. You set yourself as judge over her. You execute this. You sit on the bench, you take your gavel, you slam it down, and you start stoning her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, if you're her, you're going like, dude, these guys are really going to think they didn't sin or nothing. They're going to hit me with a stone. It's going to hurt. And wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many people's like, you're throwing stones, and you're like, are you really? Are you seriously sitting here stoning somebody? Don't you know who we are? You can't do that. It's embarrassing. And so she waits, still looking at his feet. Jesus even squats down to where she's at, right? Kneels down and starts drawing in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can just like, because people that aren't righteous still kill you.
Yeah, right.
There had to be an anointing drop at that moment because there's so many people that get blinded by religious pride that they really think they're righteous in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock's ticking, right?
That's right.
And so Jesus is drawing in the sand. I mean, think about it. Maybe he's just drawing things that they did. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and what happens is, I mean, we don't know he's drawing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just waiting. And then the older men, this is what it says, the older men drop their stones first. They take their judge robes off and they put their gavel down. They're going like, I'm not going to do nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do nothing. You know why? Because the longer you live, the more you limp.
Right.
Or the more you realize you limp. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these young whippersnappers in the Lord, that's the southern term for, like, what are you thinking? They just haven't, you know, they have a lot of zeal, but they don't understand yet. It's not applied. There's no application in their life yet. And it's good. Don't ever snuff out zeal. But just brace yourself to be there for them when they experience the reality that they are a fallen man or fallen woman.
Yeah, right.
And they're going like, I can't believe that I thought this thought. You're thinking, oh, my goodness. You can be calm about it.
Right.
You know, because it's really it's a brand new thing to them. I can't believe I thought I was so perfect and now I have all this pride in my life. Well, no, you're just beginning to see the pride in your
life.
Right. We were well aware of it for quite some time, right?
Right, yeah.
And we were just, you know, we understand because, you know, we ourselves are the same. And so the older guys drop their rocks first, but the younger guys are still holding on to the rocks. They're still holding on to the opportunity. Wait a minute. It does say there she's wrong. It does say that she's sin. That's exactly what the law says. And they're pondering back and forth. I think we should take her out. You know, and then I think he begins to write a few more things in the sand. I mean, I don't know what he's writing, but something happened. Because they had the second thought, and they began to drop their rocks. And everybody walked away. They were right in saying that the law says she should be stoned. We all should be.
Mm-hmm.
But now under the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, that we can be forgiven instead of being stoned. And so Jesus looks at her after all of her accusers left, and he says, where are your accusers?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, Now go and sin no more.
Right.
He didn't say, continue on with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go and sin no more. What does that mean? I mean, this lady had a limp. These other men, young and old, had a limp.
Mm-hmm.
And those are people you can trust. They've been through something. They understand things. And the naivety, you know, and it's difficult, you know, you can be in a place that you'd never grow up in God. If you don't have anybody that's speaking into your life, somebody discipling you, you can be 60 years old, 50 years old, but in reality, spiritually, you're probably maybe 3 years old because nobody ever brought you out of the milk of the Word.
Mm.
And you're struggling every single day with elementary things, and you're defeated. You know why? Because you haven't matured in the Lord. You have, and there has, but there's 10,000 teachers, and there's very few fathers. We have been dysfunctional in the church. We've been dysfunctional at large, because in America at least, but the world in general, but mm-hmm. definitely America, we're seeing statistics
mm-hmm.
that prove it. They say 70% of Americans' study survey says that the major problem in America is the absence of the father. It's the absence of the father.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what pushed him out or what seduced him out? What's going on? Well, it's because the father's in the church. There's no fathers in the church. I mean, there are fathers in the church. But there's not many fathers in the church. There's a lot of teachers. Let me teach you something. I don't want to hear another teaching right now. I want somebody to mature me. I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to teach me to move from that younger person to the older person so that I can be okay with the limp that I have in my life, that I can walk this out, and that God loves me in the context of this. You know, help me understand that though men accuse me, Jesus is not my accuser. That Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Help me learn that I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, not a religious figure sitting on some shelf somewhere in my house and a dusty mm-hmm. Bible that 97%, you know, are not even interested in the context of their heart. Where, you know, help me.
Mm-hmm.
Raise me. Paul said there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers in Christ Jesus. Listen, if we want to see families restored, we want to see marriage get back to where God says it needs to be, it's not going to happen because we have somebody teach us about it.
Mm.
It's going to happen when fathers get the courage to realize we all limp, and it's been the accuser telling you you can't be. And let me tell you, the accuser lines up. It's like, my goodness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm hoping, you know, this week on VFN TV, you know, by God's grace, that we're going to speak about the accuser. We're going to uncover this accuser.
Mm-hmm.
Because Satan is the accuser of the brother. He accuses day in and day out. And if you don't understand that, you think actually somebody else is accusing you or God's accusing you and all the different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually his voice in doing that. And the father's coming back. And so men need men. Women need women to be able to raise them up in the Lord to be fathers and mothers in the Lord. It's a family. We're called to be family. And we need fathers and mothers who talk about their limp. Who say, you know, I've been through some stuff. You know, help me know that you're not perfect. You know, I can possibly see that you're not, but you're not explaining to me how you're not.
Right, right.
You know, and because you're, and this is what happens when you try to act religiously perfect, the enemy accuses you to that person, and then that person begins to accept those criticisms and begins to look for all your faults and tries to prove that you're not religiously perfect. And the truth is, that's all Satan's plot altogether. You know, we should have been authentic and transparent. It's time for us. The hope for America is not a man. It's not a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the man, Jesus Christ. We limp. The very fact that we say that we are Christians means that we are sinners. There's no way out of this thing. We're bound for hell. But we found that there's a way to God.
Right.
There's a way to God. Through his son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for us. I mean, that's the whole thing. But the fact to say you're a Christian is not that we can put on a robe and grab a gavel and a stone and start heading out somewhere and fixing to do business like that. The fact that we're a Christian, we admitted that we had to humble ourselves and we had acknowledged that we sinned and that we're hopeless outside of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. But in knowing him, that he empowers us to walk a walk out that we couldn't even walk before through his grace and his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the fact. And so to jump from saying that, you know, we are Christians and then jump right into, and then I'm your measuring stick, you know, you should live a life like me instead of Jesus Christ being the standard. It's like, where did that come from?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so today, I just want to encourage you today. If you limp, you know, understand that we all limp. We all limp. If you don't limp on the outside, you know, you limp on the inside. And you don't want to blame anybody for your limp. You just want to, I limp. You know, I limp. But it just makes me more dependent on God. It makes me more grateful to the Lord for saving me and loving me.
Amen.
You know, obviously, we have a lot less limps than Pat. But it's encouraging to know when we look and project that we could be like that. No, seriously. Sweetest man you ever want to meet.
Cricket.
It's good.
I love you, man.
I love you, man. Oh, wow. Sacrifice. So the... No, seriously. No, dude, we're always joking about that. Obviously, you know, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Pat's running a near close in the race, and Chris is beating us by nose.
I did smoke my Bible.
right. He did smoke his Bible. Find out more about that on the View of Torch. And so, even see the Bible that he smoked. Come, see the Bible that he smoked. So, I mean, the biggest thing you could think about this morning, you know, before we go to this break, I just want to encourage you this morning. Listen, don't fall captive. Realize when you stand up for God and you say, you know, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to abide with him, and I'm going to obey him, and I'm going to believe he's going to empower me to be a father, a mother, a family, a business owner, an American citizen, you know, that, you know, you're going to have enemies. I mean, the enemy is going to be the ones who want to walk in darkness, the ones who don't want to walk with God. They're not going to tell you, listen, I mean, this is what they, if they really were authentic and transparent, this is what they would say. And we've already talked about this in Proverbs. They would go, listen, you're absolutely right. God is real.
Mm-hmm.
And he did send his son. And every time I'm around you, all my evilness, all of my dark ways, all that my sin is ever before me. And I feel so convicted when you're around because I realize I'm wrong. All I could think about and hear that I've sinned and I need Jesus. And you are so right in telling me I need the Lord. And I'm just so grateful. You know, they're not going to tell you that.
Mm-mm.
They're going to say, I hate you. You know, they're going to say, you know, you always, you, and the accuser thing. And the reason why is because they feel like such a sinner in the presence of God. You know why? Because they're just getting in touch with what you already knew. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But the difference is they're saying, I don't want to leave my sin.
Right.
And when you know you're wrong, and you know what the answer is, and you don't choose the answer, you're a miserable person. And you got to blame someone. But this is the big thing. There's a final exam. Every one of us alone will stand before the throne of God, the holy throne of God. So you may live your whole life blaming everybody for your choice to walk in darkness, but guess what? You're going to have to explain that to God, and it's not going to be good if you didn't choose the right answer. The right answer is Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. Find out more how we, or some of us, you know, our stories on meetmyfather.org, and maybe that can help you understand. Listen, God, we've all sinned. Every one of us need to drop our rock. Not only are we the religious person holding the rock that we need to drop, but we're also the woman caught in adultery. But all of that was at the feet of Jesus, not just the woman caught in adultery. God loves us all. Be right back.
You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged
listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Have you ever been listening or reading the Word of God, and it just seems like you were just reading a math book? And there's a lot of books that I've read in my life, and I've learned that there's a big difference between a textbook, a book, and the Word of God. There's a big difference between the Word of God and the God of the Word. And I want to encourage him that if you want to encounter the God of the Word, Jesus Christ, you can. He's not just a few letters in a pages that you don't understand. He's alive, and he's got a plan for you, and he wants nothing more than to spend time with you on a daily basis. He wants to speak to you. He wants to hear your voice, and he wants you to know his voice. Find out more at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFM Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and Chris. We were just talking about the awesome grace of God and that, you know, we are not supposed to be judging our brother. The truth is we should judge ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We should test ourselves. But in regards to our brother and our sister, that we're supposed to let God do that, which is a great, it'll take a lot of pressure off of you. I mean, you can get different clothes now. You can get rid of your robe. You can, you know, break your gavel.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, God, I'm going to leave this to you. I'm going to leave this to you. And he says this. He says, don't judge anything before it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have judged me before this time, you would have never known this is what I would be doing this.
Mm, right.
Right?
Right.
I understand you have a shooting story, too. I mean, you think about it.
Oh, I do.
No one ever would have thought. Right?
That's right.
Right. No, Pat, we probably would have thought he'd be doing something like that. Does. But you can't judge anything. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow
mm-hmm.
with somebody. And you got to give, you know, the kingdom time to grow in one's hearts. And don't judge. Just not our place to judge. He says, you know, whatever mercy you, amount of mercy that you give others, that's the amount of mercy that's going to be given to you. Does that mean you don't speak truth? No, of course you speak truth. Does that mean that you don't look at a situation and evaluate it if it's right for you and right wrong for you, or if it's you know, right for the church or wrong for the... No. But in regards to an individual, realize there's always hope. There's always hope. And we just speak the truth in love, not in judgment. You know, when we share things with people, you know, you have to share it in a way they want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If you condemn them when you're sharing it, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
So then that was more of a judgment.
Right.
But if you empathize with them and say, listen, let me tell you about Chris's life. And they go, wow. You know, I'll tell you about my life.
I usually get that effect.
Yeah.
Wow, there is hope for me.
Yeah, yeah. And so that encourages them. That's why we write Meet My Father, you know, a few testimonies up to show people to understand this, that God can use you. There's hope. Paul was killing the church. Mm-hmm. You know, his name was Saul before he was Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he was having the church stoned. He was arresting them. He was persecuting the church. And how many people would have said, well, there's no way. I mean, that person is just can't be used. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so against the church and against the body of Christ that when he did get saved, he was on his way, on his high horse, going to, you know, Damascus to persecute Christians. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knocks him off his high horse. A big bright light shows up. It just glazes over his eyes. You know, it dries out his eyes like fish scales. It's so bright. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he's thinking, this is probably not good. I mean, this is before bright headlights or halogen lights on any other horse.
Yeah, right.
This is like they're not the kind of light around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he falls to the ground, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, to speak against the body of Christ in a wrong way is to speak against Jesus. That's why we're for the whole body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're not for the spirit that says that it's against the words of God. And he said, I think I messed up, Jesus. But he was so dedicated towards bringing destruction to the church when Ananias was sent to the house to go pray for, you know, Saul. Ananias is going, hello,
mm-hmm.
don't you know who this man is? Mm-hmm. Don't you understand who he is? I mean, he's been trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to kill church. He was on his way. He had his whole crew heading our way to kill us. Right?
Yeah.
Had a letter from the high dude in the high church. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, shut up and do what I told you to. No, he just said, go ahead, pray for him. He shows up, there he is, just like God said, blind. Prayed for him and said, let me show you some, the Lord's going to show you some things that you must suffer for him, and changed his name from Saul to Paul.
Mm.
But see, they were scared of, I mean, listen, God, you could take the, you, believe God to win the most horrific dude in your community, the most wildest woman in your community, because they're the ones that are going to do some awesome things mm-hmm. for God. They're not going to be this religious mindset trying to worry about what the hair looks like while they're going for God, or, you know, they're perfectly ironed clothes and stuff that we were talking about in the first part of this hour, or what Pharisees think about them. It reminds me to think about one of the men that Steve Hill, who had Steve Hill's ministry together in the harvest, had won to the Lord, and he was like an Hell's Angel type dude.
Mm.
And he was in the bathroom with other people in the commercial bathroom or whatever, and they're using the restroom, washing their hands, or what, he's washing his hands, and some man comes in there and begins to cuss God's name. I mean, it just got all over this tough dude who loves Jesus. I mean, you're talking about my Jesus here.
Yeah.
And so he said, you better knock it off. If you don't knock this off, he says, I'm gonna put your head in that toilet. You don't talk about my Jesus like that.
Mm.
Yeah, he wasn't worried about anything, was he? And, of course, a few moments later, Steve was saying, can't do this. Get his head out the water. You know, they're not worried about that. They're just like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And that's how Saul was, which became Paul. He was willing to go into a city. Oh, my goodness. There's so many excuses in the body of Christ, and the most of them is about convenience, comfort, and money.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was so radical that he could walk into a city like Ephesus when there's nothing but demonic worship, you know, idol making Diana things going on, a big huge port city, big metropolis type city that we would think of today. And he began to believe God, that God could move in that city. He was the first one to show up in that city, Ephesus, and began to just explode with the truth of God. One man, one city,
totally dark, he carried the light. Why? Because he was a man that just needed to be touched by God. Yeah, he was a wild man, but you understand, God used that wildness.
Mm-hmm.
He loved God, and he was willing to say, I am all yours. I mean, he was willing to suffer. I mean, when a word came out, said that, whoever has this belt is going to be bound in Rome. He's like, psh.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, I have no problem suffering.
That's why I'm going.
That's why I'm going. You just got tapped into what I already know already.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go, oh, my goodness, I must not go because I will get less of a paycheck. It's like, he's like, oh, my goodness, my union might fire me. Are you serious? My wife won't let me go. Oh, my goodness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing? My children, they're in the 10th point, 8th grade, and I just don't want to remove them from this wonderful godly education system of America to go obey the Lord and move into a city to be able to plant the church.
Right.
Are you serious? Come on. I'm not talking about just maverick, wild, and rebellious. I'm talking about so wild and so radical that you do what God says, and you're totally, out of the fear of God, submitted to his love and leadership in your life. Listen, you can win cities for God. We're looking for men and women who are break loose from the religious, pharisaical, sadduceical mindsets, the religious bondage of our nation that'll say, you know what? I believe God. Everything that God says I can do and he can do through me can happen. The book of Acts is not a history book. It's an operations manual. This is how the church is supposed to act. This is what God does. I mean, either God is God or he's not.
All right.
I mean, you need to ask this question to yourself. Either God is God or he's not. And he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Either God can or he can't. You got to ask yourself, by the way, he can. But if you don't have the right answers to these two questions, you're going to be held captive.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God loves you, no matter where you are in this equation. But understand, we're looking for a few who will stand up like Paul, who will stand up like Peter, who will stand up like James, who will stand up like Billy Graham, who will stand up like Amy Sibley McPherson, who will stand up like John Paul Jackson, or stand up like Steve Hill, or stand up like John Kilpatrick, stand up like Michael Brown. Who in this generation is going to stand up like a Pat Robinson, or stand up and say, you know what, all this crew has served their generation well, but where are you to serve this generation? We're looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for you. You're going to have to bust out. There's a birthing process, and you can't do it alone. But listen, we're looking for you. Maybe you're called to be a part of Gideon's army. I mean, think about Gideon's army. What are the qualifications? The weakest and least likely.
That's right.
Check.
check.
The things that are not to nullify the things that are.
That's right.
Check. Think about it. The weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Check.
What does one weak man say to another weak man? Let's pray. If you don't have that let's pray mindset, you don't realize how weak you are yet.
That's all right. Absolutely.
That's so funny, Pat and I look at each other and just stare. Nothing's happening over here. You got an answer coming? No. We need to pray. And God comes through. It's amazing, isn't it?
Every time.
Which confirms, check.
Check.
I mean, think about it. Like right now, as we're speaking, a former Marine, if there is a former Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, Stephen Kalaszewski, who served two tours of duty in Iraq. He defended us. He fought for us. He laid down with his brothers his freedom to go fight for our freedom for a time in the United States Marine Corps. And now he comes back and he begins to wonder what life's about, and he cries out to God, and God meets him.
You can go to the VFN Torch and hear his testimony. You know, Marine encounters God. It was a powerful, powerful Saul-like transformation as he cried out to God, and God showed up so powerfully that he had to pause for a moment and think, oh, he's real now? I feel him, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, right.
Hello? Is that you, God? And he went through the process because he knew that I needed to get rightly related, and I needed to get connected, and I needed to be discipled. I needed to know the ways of Jesus. And then I want to be trained up and go through VFNU, and I want to have family around me because we're called to be family and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. And he decides to join Gideon's army. And today, as we speak today, because he responded to the call that I'm talking to you about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is about to be blessed.
That's right.
Why? Because he's being the first. Mm-hmm. He's the first to carry what this generation's going to do for God. Listen, what you're seeing primarily in America is what the past generation has done, and that is so cool, and it is God. You need to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, there's a new wind blowing across this nation. Everything that's been before is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And to be frank with you, a lot of people just need to let go and let God.
Right.
As Chuck Pierce said, that we're being held captive because we won't let go of what God's wanting to take control of in his church,
mm-hmm.
the government of the church. And because Steve listened, because he said, yes, here I am, God, send me. I mean, he was willing to go and fight for your freedom, and now he's willing to fight for the freedom of those in Pittsburgh. He's going to plant a church in Pittsburgh to tell them about the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's already gone to spied out the land. You got to hear it. You got to hear the stories of what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting. It's not about what religion's made it out to be. Listen, I mean, Easter is so important about what happened that day, but listen, it's more than an Easter play. Every single day of your life should be filled with great excitement and expectation and abiding with him and launching out and going into new cities. I mean, you're going to spend eternity either regretting not doing this or dreading what you did instead or celebrating gratitude, thinking, I'm so glad I did not waste one moment of that because this life is so short.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have all of eternity to think about it. And nothing truly satisfies, you know it is, other than obeying God, living in God's presence. We're created for his presence. We were made to love him. And loving him is obeying him.
All right.
But he empowers us to be able to love him and to go this. So here he is, this Marine. Now he's in Gideon's army, headed to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Big old U-Haul truck, car being pulled behind it. To plant a church. Why? Because he's like Paul. He's like Paul. He said, here I am, right? Like Isaiah, sorry. Send me. I believe, God, that you can win Pittsburgh, that you love the people of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you want me to tell them that you love them and you have a plan for your life and you want me to preach your kingdom to them one by one, and you want me to begin to connect and relate, and those that believe, you want me to baptize them in the three rivers,
mm-hmm.
and disciple them. What do you believe in God for? Another car?
Mm-hmm.
Another raise? A bigger cable package?
Mm-hmm.
A third relationship? Really, come on. Think about it. Live life on the edge of obeying God. This generation needs leaders. Listen, Gideon's army's qualifications, read about Gideon. Gideon was sitting in a wine press, eking out a living because everybody, the entire nation, was under great oppression. Welcome to the future. And an angel shows up and sees him. He was hiding in the wine press because the Midianites would come in, and that name means strife,
mm-hmm.
would come in, and they, every time they would get something going, they would steal it and stomp on it and take their stuff and things, and people were hiding in caves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And God was about to move powerfully. I mean, it looked like it was just terrible. How could this be? How could God about to move? And Gideon is hiding. He's not in a wine press because it's a good place to work. He's there because so the Midianites won't see him working so he can get some wheat for his family to go feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then God sends a messenger, and I really believe right now you're hearing me, I'm your messenger. And he looks at Gideon, the weakest and the least likely.
Mm-hmm.
He's hiding from the oppression. He can add 11, and he says, mighty man of valor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it. Who is this man?
Right.
That's basically what he's saying. Is like, listen, I don't want to hear any more about this old-time religion. I don't want to hear historically what happened in your generation. The question I have for you, what's going to happen in our generation?
Right.
What happened in your generation does me no good. It saves no one in this generation. Who's going to rise up? Who's going to be the Gideon in this generation? Who's going to obey the plans of God? Who's going to say, I know what you did, and I know it worked in your generation, but now more people are leaving God than coming to him. Everything's upside down in the church.
Right.
There's great stress and oppression. Gross darkness is covering the face of the earth. And you're eking out 11. And I'm saying, mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of virtue.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this. The same God of past generations is still God today. We've been looking for you. But listen, there's very few Marines, not a lot of Marines. They call them the tip of the spear. When they sign their papers to get in, they say, listen, you know, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause. That's what they say. And what an awesome thing. That's why you admire Marines, what they're willing to do, the tip of the spear for our freedom.
Right.
And all of our military forces. But you know what? When you join the army of God, the spiritual army of God, not physical army, when you join this army of God, you got to sign the papers. I mean, if you've tried to join the army of God and you haven't signed these papers, you're whining a lot. Because you find out every day your life's being demanded from you. Your schedule's being demanded from you. What you want's being demanded from you. It's like a dead man, a dead woman doesn't even complain about it.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's going to cost me this. It's going to cost me that. It's like, you haven't enlisted yet. Oh, you didn't read the small print.
Right.
And it's miserable being tied between two opinions. You got to decide what you're going to do. Is it not important for us to be the Billy Grahams of our generation? Is it not important for us to be the Coach McCartneys of our generation? I mean, who's going to do it? Who is going to be the man? Who's going to be the woman? Listen, break all that stuff. Mindsets of saying that you got to be attached to what was. It's time to be attached to what is. God is doing a new thing. You will not be able to even imagine what God's about to do on the earth. He's about to do something so powerful. There's going to be a wave, a tidal wave of awesomeness. Yes, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times, but it's going to be the best of times for the church. The church is going to rise to its occasion. Whether America stands or falls, the church is going to rise to its most awesome harvest it's ever seen. But the question is, are you going to join the ranks? Quit blaming everybody. It's your choice.
Right.
It sounded good when you blamed everybody for not enlisting in the army, but the truth is, it's your choice. Are you going to be the ones who write about what happened because you go with Jesus? Or are you going to be the ones that read about what happened because you got to wait for them to send you the book because you chose not to go with them?
Right.
Some people write about it, and most people read about it. We're looking for a few good, humble, willing Sauls.
Yeah.
That understands we need God. And read Judges chapter 7. You can see it was a journey
mm-hmm.
for Gideon.
Yeah.
But it started with, okay, I'll do it. What's so cool about this is we've been preparing for you for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've been digging trenches. We've been laying foundation. The apostolic foundation has been laid. And so we've put these things together for what took us a season of of sowing and harvesting and learning and hearing and precept upon precept. I mean, I go back and I look in Vine Fellowship Network University. I go back to see some of these revelations that God has given us that's waiting for you to taste and see that's good. And I'm amazed because it's been like one continual prophetic word utterance that just continued to come and come and come and come. It's not what religion has made it out to be. I stand amazed because you understand prophecy is the person who's prophesying. They're not that word. God is using them to speak that word out, and they can end up taking notes on themselves because you're thinking, oh my goodness, that didn't come from me. That can't. God's doing something. Mm-hmm. He's doing something. And I look back and say, my goodness. But the question is, are you going to turn to politics? Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn to religion? Are you going to turn to a relationship? Are you going to join the army of God and say, you know what? I want to be that person this generation. This generation is worth giving my life for. God gave his life for me, his son's life for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my life for him. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to love God because he says, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friend. Everybody wants to keep it. I say, really? Mm-hmm. Lay it down. Lay it down. If that's you this morning, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Go to VFNfamily.org, VFNfamily.org, and check out. It's happening. You can go to GregLancasterMinistries.org, and you can see everything that's happening in the context of that. God's doing many things across the earth, and this is just one of the things that he's doing. But if I'm talking to you and you're listening to me, nothing happens by accident. Mm-mm. It's time to respond. We're looking for a few good men. Actually, a few humble men, because the only one is good is God. He just wants his goodness to come through you. Find out more at GregLancasterMinistries.org. Well, God bless. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Who would ever have thought it was going to go that way? We have some things I want to share with you about the debates last night in the extra hour. For those that can't join us, don't forget you can join us on the VFN TV app or at VFNTV.com. And for those that are joining us, we'll see you on the other side. VFN Radio.